I knew it before, and this morning confirms it. The Reverend Dr. Wenthe has a sense of humor. He asked me, invited me to have the privilege of sharing God's word, and to be on the safe side, he saw to it that I spent the last 2 hours in a homiletics course. And it occurred to me as I was sitting there and listening to the treasures that God has gifted the church, that all of us stand on the same ground, and what a privilege it is, and it's a privilege for me today to announce from this pulpit what you have heard and heard and heard, and that is grace, mercy, and peace be to all of you. From God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word from Him who embodies grace, mercy, and peace we have just heard, I call your attention to the first two verses of 1 Peter 2. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. It's that time of the year to do spring cleaning. And I think of my garage at home, and I think of the house, and I've talked with some of you who are preparing for vicarage assignments and your first calls, and I understand that already the packing and the cleaning up and all of that is taking place. The word this morning is not talking about garages and houses, but it's talking about and to you and me. Daily, we are called on by God to do some spiritual house cleaning. And to understand the force of this, we really have to take the whole context of this letter. For the greetings that many of us know so well are to the baptized people of God, the people who have been born again, to a living hope, to people like you and me who have had our hearts and our minds signed with the cross in holy baptism, to people like you and me who have been given the seed of new life which never perishes, but will one day be raised with Christ for all eternity. It's to people like you and me, to the church. The apostle says, therefore, because God has done the spiritual house cleaning in your life through His Son, Jesus Christ, get rid of all the clutter and all of the garbage which we, by our nature, find it so easy to accumulate. He says, get rid of the caucus, that baneness, that stuff that produces hypocrisy, envy, slander. We could expand on each of those. It's so easy for us to become pumped up and proud about all of the things theological and academic and all of the right answers that we have, and the poor folks over there, whether they're liberal or moderate or rigid or conservative or whoever they happen to be, poor folks, we've got it. And how thankful we can be. I can very easily detect slander because slander is what is written about me and which is totally untrue, but I find it very easy to talk about somebody else and in doing so to build myself up. Oh, envy. I know some preachers in our church that I would like to be like. And I have lived through the time where, how come that pastor and that congregation gets it all? And what's wrong with the congregation that I happen to be serving? And as I thought about all of that garbage, and that's what the scriptures call it, garbage, it occurs to me they have a unifying theme, and that is affirmation. If I can knock somebody else down, if I can show how correct I am, I can demonstrate the fact that I am acceptable to myself, to others, to God Himself. And the Lord has a firm word. He says, that's garbage. That's sin. That is in conflict with the good work that God has done in you through His Son, Jesus Christ. So get rid of it. Get rid of it. Three reasons. Number one, God commands it. Number two, the more we allow ourselves to fill the spiritual crevices of our life with things that cannot satisfy our hunger forever, the more we thirst on the things that cannot provide lasting refreshment, the more we are fooling ourselves and going to find ourselves reaching that point where the law shows us, brothers, sisters, you've been weighed in the balance and you've been found wanting. And not only that, when our lives are so hopelessly filled with spiritual clutter, God, with all of His grace and mercy, has no room in our lives. We've shut Him out, and that's one thing that we have the power to do. We can say no to God. But you've tasted that the Lord is good. And in these moments again, as He speaks to your hearts, once again, He's demonstrating His goodness. On Easter Sunday, I preached at a congregation about 100 miles from my home, had to cross a bridge. The bridge toll is $2, and I had my $2 in my shirt pocket. I was all set. I rode up and I gave the $2 to the toll taker, and the toll taker smiled and said, "The man up ahead of you paid. Go ahead." And all of a sudden, what occurred to me was the goodness of our God. That in spite of the fact that we were born sinful, totally turned around from Him, He has loved us so much that He sent the man, Jesus of Nazareth, who preceded us and who paid the price, and a loving Father today says, go ahead. We confess before Him that we have not lived up to His expectations, and He speaks to our hearts through Romans, the 5th chapter. Consider this, while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Yesterday's USA Today had an article on the rising gasoline prices in the United States. Well, don't tell me about it, because now when I fill my tank of gas in San Francisco, California, it's costing $1.79 or above in some of our more remote areas. And we grouse and we grumble, but God never has. God gave something more priceless than the $2 a gallon. He gave the life of His own Son, Jesus Christ, as payment for your sins and mine. And even though we've forgotten what it means to be alive in Christ, and we've allowed the garbage of hypocrisy and envy and slander to accumulate in our lives, still he comes with a good word and says, in Christ, peace. Go and sin no more. You have tasted that the Lord is good. It's as you come before Him, having nothing in your hand, but clinging only to the cross of Jesus Christ, you discover that He creates in you a craving, a desire. The word that He has spoken through the Scriptures and the sacraments, they become just a taste that whets the appetite. And as you grow into Him, He provides you with more and more. Instead of envy, He gives you the gift which builds up and edifies the brother and sister in Christ. Instead of hypocrisy, God reveals Himself to be a God who is faithful to His word and will never walk out on you. Instead of slander, He comes to you as the gracious Lord Jesus Christ, who even now, while we are in this room, is at His Father's and our Father's right hand, making intercession for us. I had the privilege of serving our Savior Lutheran Church in Sacramento, California for 14 years. As you know, Sacramento is the state capital. And that means the government has lots of automobiles. Every one of those automobiles has a big seal on the front doors. And it's the great seal of the state of California. And over it, it says, for official use only. That's what's happened in your baptism and mine. God has reclaimed us in Christ Jesus for His business. And when we allow the clutter that sin produces to accumulate in our lives, all we are about is our own business. And though we call it church, we are going to fail. But in Christ, He not only makes us the church, but He also gives us the gifts necessary to be that shining beacon of hope in a world that desperately needs hope and the promise of life that transcends death. Yes, this is the day for us to renew our baptism, to drown the old Adam, and to come alive again with the new that God has given us, the new that He continues to nurture in us as we come together around word and sacraments. And we might be so bold as His people to anticipate the day when we will have matured fully by His grace and the Spirit's power to what He has called the church to be. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith through Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.